Okay, we're continuing our study in the Bible, and we're starting at the beginning today. So we're in Genesis chapter 1. When we get to the Genesis here, especially the first couple of chapters, and chapter 1 really stands out. There's so much in here, all right? We're going to get a chance to try to touch on a lot of things here, but Genesis is so deep, like the entire Word of God. But if you come today and you say, boy, he didn't touch on this and this, I apologize for that, but man, there's so much here, you know what I mean? And you can grab commentaries and just see all kinds of insights the Lord has. And I don't know about you, I don't know how many times the Lord has brought me back to Genesis to teach me something new. There's just so much here, okay? So it's a bit of a challenge even jumping in here, but we're gonna go for it, and we'll get a chance to, we're gonna pick on evolution some too. We have to do that when we get in here. So put on your thinking caps, because we're going to dig a little bit on some of this. But it begins here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Okay, let's jump into some of this now, because like I said, it goes real deep here, all right? It starts out here, and the Lord says, in the beginning. Now that's where we get the title Genesis from, because Genesis means beginnings or origins, okay? So God is telling us the things that we're seeing here from an eyewitness account. He's the only one who was there at this point, okay? So we have to have him tell us, because we have no answers unless he reveals to us how it all came to be. Now, we sometimes may wonder about the author of who wrote Genesis. We do know this, okay, that the Holy Spirit is the author of all Scripture. So the Holy Spirit wrote this. He used, from what we know, he used Moses to pen this for us as God revealed it to him and to those previously before him. But the Holy Spirit is the author, okay? Now, let me bring this up too, just because I know you're going to run into this. Now, let me explain. One of the things I'm trying to do as you go through this study too is to give you some I hate to call it ammunition, but some things to be able to use, because I know we're hitting so heavy on different issues against the Bible, against creation, and things like that. So I'm going to try to give you some stuff that you can use to help you think it through yourself, and also to have some answers for people as well, okay? Now, one of the things we come to when we talk about the author of the early parts of the Bible here, things like this, some people would simply take the whole Bible and say it's not a reliable historical document, okay? Now, right here in our own town, we've got a junior college that I know one of the teachers told our children that when they were going to a couple classes there. They said, you cannot use the Bible as a resource because it is not a reliable document. Now, if you want to say, you know, that you don't want us to use the Bible for resource, just come out and say that. But to say it's not a reliable document is a statement from ignorance, okay? They don't know what they're talking about when they say that. That's not accurate at all. We have solid, solid evidence for the Bible being a true historical document, okay? So what we get from that then, it might, by the way, just to give you a sample, that we have over, I think it's last number I looked at, is like over 8,000 manuscripts for the Old Testament. I'm sorry, for the New Testament alone, much less what we have for the Old Testament. So we have over 8,000 manuscripts that support the Bible being a true historical document, okay? Now, that's talking about the content that's there. It's really historical, and it's truly historical, okay? Now, for like Aristotle and Plato and things like that, we don't have any historical documents. We have documents that quote them, and that's how they come up with all the writings for Aristotle, Plato, and all these guys. We don't have any of the original documents at all, okay? So you go to a university somewhere, and they're going to promote Plato, Aristotle, all these guys way over the Bible. But let me ask you a question, okay? You come into a courtroom, and the judge or the attorneys come up and give their case. The attorneys on the one side said, we have over 8,000 pieces of evidence for this side. And the other ones come in and say, well, we don't really have any evidence, but we've got a few people who say they know a few things, a few hearsays, okay? So we got like 8 or 12 hearsays over here. And that's about how many documents we have for Aristotle, Plato, and all those guys, okay? The maximum, we have like 12, all right? So we're comparing 12 to over 8,000. Which side would you believe, okay? Would you say, well, I think I'll go with the one that has all this evidence, all right? Just looking at that illustration here, the Bible's on this side, okay? It is a true historical document. Now, whether somebody likes the contents of it, that's a different thing, but it is truly a historical document, okay? So there's one thing right off the bat to help you think this through. When somebody tells you, you know, it's not a reliable document, it tells you they just heard somebody say that and they swallowed it. They didn't chew on that at all. They just swallowed it whole, okay? And we're going to see a lot of that takes place when we get into the study of creation and evolution. The Lord wants us to think, okay? To use the brain that he's given us. So we need to think, and to think we need truth in order to do that, okay? Now, when it comes to evolution, they don't want you to think it through. Just swallow it whole. And all these other statements that come against the Bible, just swallow them whole. Don't think about them. Don't chew on them. Just take it in, okay? So we're gonna dig in and get the thinker working. That's why I said plug in your brain there as we get started here so we can think these things through. All right, now, as the Lord talks about this and says, in the beginning, okay? It's a book of beginnings for us. And what we get from that is God is giving us answers to so many questions, all right? We are curious, and we want to know things. We want to know, where did the world come? Where did the universe come from? Where did plants come from? Where did the animals come from? Where did man come about? How did that come to be? And, you know, where is sin coming from? What happened there? Where does marriage come from? Where do the nations come from? Where does law come from? And God gives us the answers to all those things in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, okay? So the Lord answers those things for us. Now, when man says, well, I don't want to start with God. I want to throw him out of the way. I want to come up with my own answers. When man does that and just throws God out of the picture, he comes up with all kinds of goofy stuff, okay? For one thing, you can't look around today and see what's in the world and say, okay, based on what I see today, I'm going to say this is the way it's always been, all right? And for instance, man come up with something like this. Well, I see there's good in the world and I see there's evil in the world. So I'm assuming, big assumption, that there's always been good and there's always been evil and it's always been fighting one another and sometimes good wins and sometimes evil wins. And that's some of the almost like New Age philosophy that's out there in the world. And it's all bogus. That's not true. God said at one point in time everything was good. Evil didn't come till later on, see? So you can't make those kind of assumptions. If you throw God's answers out, you come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? That's why we praise the Lord. He gave us answers to this stuff. Man doesn't like them, but he gave them to us, you know? And if we humble ourselves and come to the Lord, he'll put everything in place. And we say, thank you, Lord, for telling us the truth, because we wanted to know. You go to different cultures around the world, and they'll come up with all kinds of funny ideas about where a man came from. You know, there was a culture that some missionaries reached. They said, where do you think man came from? They said, well, we think there were these two giant birds, and they reproduced, and then that was man, and that's how man came out, you know. And you look at that and say, wow, where'd you get that one, you know? And then the missionaries told them, well, there's some people in our culture that think two monkeys got together and made man. And they said, well, that's stupid, you know. So, yeah, when you leave man to himself, he comes up with all kinds of stuff. And it's sad that we're just told to believe these things and not to question them, to think about them, to check them out, okay? But God does give us the answer with Genesis, and that is the book of beginnings. So it answers a whole bunch of those questions for us. Now also, when the Lord says in the beginning, that's a time element, okay? God gives us a starting point for us to relate to. Now, I want you to look at something in Revelation 22. We just finished Revelation. We're going to go back to the end of the book again just to get some of this together. Genesis chapter 22. I'm sorry, Revelation 22. We're working both ends today, so we're going okay. Sorry about that. Revelation 22. Thank you. Down to verse 12. It says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And the Lord doesn't say he was the beginning and he will be the end. He says, I am the beginning and I am the end. So he's at both places at the same time. And what we learn from that is that God is outside of time. So he created time, and then he created us to be inside of time, okay? So we understand things from the point of time. And God's outside of that, all right? So when he says in the beginning, he gives us a marker for the question we might have, where did time begin? And the Lord tells us that answer too, and that is in the beginning, okay? Yeah, so we get a big picture of God right off the bat here that he had to mark time for us because we're not eternal. We had a beginning at one point, so we are in the sense of this time thing God developed, and we're living from this point forward, okay, whenever we came into being here. Now, there's something else about God we need to know. Take a look at Psalms 90, book of Psalms, chapter 90, and verse 2. It says in Psalms 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, are you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Okay? So I wanted you to see a couple of things here. First of all, it mentions creation right here in the middle of the book of Psalms, okay? And creation is spread throughout the Bible. So for those people who say, well, if you just eliminate the first three chapters of Genesis, then you can get on and forget about that creation stuff. No, God has interwoven creation through the entire Bible, so you can't get away from it. You're either going to believe God is the creator, which he said he is, or you're going to deny that. And three chapters aren't going to do it for you, okay, just to get rid of three of them. But he says here that before those things even came into being, before the mountains were born, before you brought forth from the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that tells us about God that he is eternal. Okay, so not only is he outside of time, he is eternal as we understand time. And I don't know if you've tried this one. I remember back in grade school, I tried to think this through because I was told back then that God is eternal, you know. So I thought, well, I wonder what it was like in eternity past. So I tried to get my brain to think back to what that must have been like. And it hurts. You actually get a headache if you try to go back there because we don't have that kind of ability to think of eternity. We are created as finite beings, meaning we have a beginning, okay? We didn't have this eternal start. So we can't go back there. And you can get a headache trying to do that stuff. But God is eternal. He's outside of time. He is from everlasting before, and he is into everlasting in the future. And we've been created, and now that we exist, we're going to have a future eternity. We'll be into the everlasting in that end, but we won't be on the beginning side of that. We did have a start, okay? So God created us to exist in time, and he gives us a starting point for when that happened, in the beginning, okay? So that's a part of the beginning, what the Lord shows us right here. Now, go on further in Genesis 1:1. It says that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's something, I don't know if you noticed this before. God is mentioned in chapter 1 of Genesis, okay, 30 times at least, more than 30 if you count them all right? So the focus here is God is the creator and he is the focus of creation, all right? We can't miss that. Maybe that's why the enemy is so mad about this, because God gets a whole lot of glory from chapter 1. You know, just the starting point, over 30 times it points to God. It says, God did this, God did this, God did this. So I can see the enemy saying he's awful jealous. He doesn't want that to be and to come against that one. All right. Now take a look, too, at Psalm 33. We're going to do some examination here, as you can see, of other scriptures. Psalm 33. And look down to verse 6, because you wonder, why did the Lord do all this? Why did he bring all this creation about? In Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, into heaps. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." And that's the power of our God, that he can speak these things into existence, and by his command, they are. Everything moves to where it's supposed to be. It stays where it's supposed to be until God says move. Everything is intact, okay, by the powerful word of the Lord, okay? So the Lord tells us here, all the earth's response to this creation should be, you fear the Lord and you revere him. And the idea is that man is to have an awesome respect for God. Now, look around the world today, in our culture, do you see an awesome respect for God? Okay? And I think a lot of that's happened by us destroying the idea of creation and just lifting up this false teaching of evolution, and it takes God out of the picture, right? That's the seems to be their idea, to just remove him and get him out of the way. So you think about this for a moment. We did this last time we got a chance to go through here. If you would take a look at Genesis 1 and just kind of look at it without God, okay? We'll try their way of doing things and just take God out of the way for a moment and see what it sounds like, okay? In the beginning, somehow, were the heavens and the earth. There was the deep, and then all of a sudden there was light. Somehow, light came to be. Then it was separated from the darkness. And there was evening, and there was morning, first day. There was an expanse that was between the waters above, waters below, and somehow that just came to be. The ground was called land. Then we had also seas, and it was good, but it just happened, you know? Don't know how. There were trees that all of a sudden started to form, and they had fruit on them. They had seeds on them. There was also lights that just kind of appeared in the sky. We call it the sun now, and the moon, and stars, and planets, and all those kind of things, and they just came, you know? I mean, don't know where it came from, but it just came, you know? And you can go on with that whole scenario, and it sounds kind of strange. I mean, can you imagine reading to your children this story of just everything just kind of happened? We don't have a clue on where or how or whatever, but it just came, you know? And it sounds so silly to take God out of the picture, and yet in evolutionary thinking, that's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to accomplish. Now, one of the stories that you've heard me say before probably, but I'll repeat it again. It's a pretty interesting story for this, what we're looking at with evolution. There was a math teacher, and one of his students decided to make him this 3D model of the universe. So he brought in the planets just of our solar system and had this beautiful colored, you know, 3D model, and he brought it in, and the teacher had it sitting on his desk. He thought, this is really cool. So the science teacher comes walking in the room, and he looks at that, and he says, wow, I really like that. You know, that's pretty neat. Where'd you get that from? And the math teacher said, this is really strange. You know, one day I just opened the window, and some dust blew in the room and kind of swirled around, and all of a sudden, it was there on my desk. I don't know how that happened. And the science teacher got mad and stomped out, and he said to him, you know, on the way out, he said, that's what you're teaching the children, you know what I mean? You're teaching them this kind of foolish stuff. Because obviously, when you see that sitting on the desk, somebody made that, right? I mean, it just didn't happen. It just didn't appear one day out of some dirt or something. It was made by someone. So why is it we don't want to think this through? You don't have an understanding that when you see this big globe, just the one we're living on here, somebody must have made this thing, you know? So that's one story just to get us thinking on that one. Now back in Genesis 1 again, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And it mentions God here, okay? The term used for God is the plural in the Hebrew, and yet we know there's only one God. The Bible's very clear on that. So we get a hint here that God is a little bigger than our brain maybe can even handle. All right, we know the Trinity. In the future, we see the Lord reveal that in clear detail in the New Testament. But I want you to notice here that God is involved in the creation, and this is the entire Godhead. This is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the passage here, you simply see God mentioned, and then you see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. But take a look back to Colossians chapter 1, and notice how clear the Lord told us that Jesus also is involved in creation. That's in Colossians chapter 1. And look down to verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, so the Lord made that really, really simple for us to read and understand Jesus is involved in the creation too. So he had the entire Godhead involved in the process of creation. Okay? Now, what does God think about the people who would deny God? I mean, we've just looked at a couple of things here, but there are people in the world that say, I don't believe God exists, okay? So look at Psalm 14, just for one place this is mentioned, because God thinks about the person that says they don't believe in him. Psalm 14, and down to verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the Lord has an answer for the person who says, well, I don't believe God even exists. The Lord says, well, I understand that. I understand why you think that way. God says you're a fool if that's the case. And he also says that in Psalm 53. We won't look at that one, but he repeats it again. Just in case you didn't get it the first time coming through, he repeats it again. Okay? So God is the one, he says back in Genesis 1, that he created the heavens, he created the earth, and then it says, as he does his creation, the word itself means made out of nothing when he uses the term create, okay? Now that term is used only of God in the scriptures, all right? So he alone is the one who is able to create something out of nothing. No one else can pull that one off, all right? And I like this definition of creation I found. It's the work of God in bringing all things into existence. And we saw part of that in Colossians 1. All things were brought into existence by God, and that's the term creation, okay, when he said he creates. Now, also here, I wanted to give you this definition of evolution. I told you you're going to have to deal with this evolution a little bit as we get into it, okay? Here's a definition for what is evolution, okay? And it's a little bit lengthy, but I want you to think this one through with me. This is where you need to get the thinking cap on and wind it up a little bit here, okay? Because people will hit you with stuff and treat you like you don't know anything because you don't understand evolution. So I'm going to give you enough of that today, hopefully, to challenge you and also help you get some answers here, okay? Evolution. This is from Ryrie's Theology. He gave the definition for this. It's the theory that says several billion years ago, chemicals in the sea, acted on by sunlight and cosmic energy, formed themselves by chance into one or more single-celled organisms, which have since developed through beneficial mutations and natural selection into all living plants, animals, and people. Okay, we're going to chew on this a little bit because there's some terms here that sound really fancy, but if you understand just the concept of what's going with them, you can help somebody that's stuck in evolution and think they've found great wisdom in evolution, okay? First of all, it says evolution is a theory. Now, you remember back in science years ago for some of us, we're looking back, and what a theory was? It was part of a hypothesis, but a theory was not proven. It had to be proven, okay? You came up with your hypothesis, your theory, and then you had to prove that. Well, when we talk about evolution being a theory, it means it's unproven. Okay? That's scientific fact, all right? Now, they've changed definition. If you just look at your modern word for the defining of theory, you'll find they've said, also, it's a statement of fact. I thought, really? Why did you change a definition for theory, you know? Because it's stuck on your term evolution. So you got to go back kind of far if you want to get a dictionary that might help you with some of that. Now, also, they said that several billion years ago, these things happened. For me, if I go back to when I was in grade school, for instance, and I look at the science books, and I did this just to check it out, how far back did evolution start? Back then, okay, this is many years ago, when I was in grade school, it was about, I think it was, if I remember the numbers right, like 2 to 15 million years ago, evolution, okay? Well, since then, the scientists have been looking at that and thought, man, there's no way. That's impossible that stuff could have happened in that amount of time. So they've been adding time. Okay, to the equation, and now we're up to several billion years, okay? Because our mind can't fathom that billion thing anyway, so that's just throwing it way back there, giving it plenty of time to have the possibility of happening, okay? Now, it says that these chemicals somehow form themselves by chance into one or more single-celled organisms, okay? So it started, they're going to give it a break, that it started with just a single cell, single organism, but somehow all that stuff somehow got together, you know, and all of a sudden just formed into this thing, okay? Now, from that single cell, there were mutations and natural selection that occurred. Now, these terms are something that we need to at least have a handle on if you're going to talk to somebody and somebody's going to nail you about evolution, okay? Mutations, for one, really important. You have to have mutations for evolution theory to go to its next step, okay? Because they said that there was a mutation that occurred, and that mutation now made a stronger organism that was more complex than the original one. And as we have a series of these mutations, and all of a sudden, we're here, you know? So we're the result of many, many mutations that have happened. Now, that's the theory, okay? Here are the facts. A mutation, if you remember biology, some of that stuff and all, a mutation is weaker, not stronger, okay? It doesn't get more complex. It gets less complex. There's a problem when there's a mutation. And usually, they don't even reproduce. They don't even survive for the most part. Okay? So this is the idea of mutations. Now, look how we've been trained otherwise, okay? You remember the mutant ninja turtles? Those turtles were stronger than the average turtle, right? Because we know mutations make you stronger, right? That's not true scientifically, but you have to believe that if you're going to swallow evolution, okay? Interesting. The X-Men, they're mutants, right? And they're more powerful than regular human beings because they're mutants. Right? A mutation made them stronger. That doesn't fit science, but it has to if evolution is going to fit, see? So interesting how all this stuff is playing out, that we might swallow this evolution idea when the child comes to school and says, these mutations stacked up, boy, and they got stronger and stronger, and now we're here, look at us, you know? And it's like, scientifically, that doesn't hold water. But in the realm of science fiction, it's good stuff. You know, it's really interesting. And I do like that. I like science fiction. It's interesting, intriguing to me. So some of this I'm going like, this is really amazing. People put this stuff together, you know. Has no basis in truth, but it's just kind of funny and interesting here. Okay, so that was the mutations. Also involved is a thing called natural selection. All right, now natural selection is what happens when there's a mutation that occurs. Natural selection decides, is this a good mutation or a bad mutation? If it's a bad mutation, the natural selection eliminates it. It ends up dying off. But if it's a good mutation where it's gotten stronger and more powerful, then it allows it to exist and it moves up to the next level of evolution. Okay. Now, as you study this out, I thought, you know, natural selection almost sounds like it's got a divine being to it, you know? Where does natural selection get this intelligence to decide what stays and what goes, you know? It's like, wow, you have to have some kind of magical thing in here in order to make your formulas work. Kind of strange the way that works, isn't it? Okay, Chuck Smith did this. I thought this would be interesting to hear. This is in his study Bible, he had this at the beginning. He calls it, It Just So Happened. And it fits well with evolution, okay? Because you have to hold to this stuff if that's the case. It just so happened that the Earth was 93 million miles away from the sun. Because if it was any further, it'd be too cold to live on, and any closer, it'd be too hot to live on. So it just so happened. It was 93 million miles away from the sun. And it just so happened that the atmosphere became a combination of nitrogen and oxygen in a just so happened balance of about 79% to 20%, with 1% variant gases. That was all just happened, you know. It just so happened that around the Earth there was a blanket of ozone protecting it from the cosmic rays, and it just so happened there's about a 2/3 water to 1/3 landmass ratio, and it just so happened that in the water there was a fortuitous combination of molecules of protein that happened to come together at just the right time, at the right place, in the right proportions, under the right pressure, and under the right heat, and spontaneously, and these generated into the first cell. But what is the chance of all that just so happening? You know, it's like, wow, you're going way out there to just try to say everything just happened, you know, and it just doesn't fit our thinking at all. And it's sad that we swallow these things, and intelligent people think they found some real answers on this, you know. Adrian Rogers, if you catch him on the radio, I love the way he simplified things. Here's his definition for evolution, according to the standard definition, nice and simple, okay? You take nothing, and you add chance to it, and you add time, and it's eventually everything that we know. Now think about that. You start with nothing, and you add chance to it and time, and all of a sudden you have everything. Now, that's crazy. You know, I don't know if they could even sell that one at the boat down there. I don't think that was going to work to get anybody to put some money on that one. And yet, that's evolution. But some evolutionists disagree with that, okay? They say, no, we believe something existed. There was something to start with, and then it evolved, all right? Now, they don't know where that something came from. And it was interesting. One of the movies we've got in the library back there, they asked one of the scientists, one of the leading scientists from our time period, evolutionary guy, and they asked him, well, where do you think that came from? You know, because we started with something. So if that something is there, where'd it come from? And they finally got him back to the point where he gave his intellectual answer. He said, well, to be honest with you, I think it was aliens. And you're like, what? And the guy that was interviewing him was like, so the answer is aliens did all this, huh? They dropped this substance or had it somewhere. And it's like, wow. This is one of the leading evolutionary scientists in our day. Okay, yeah, so if you wonder where they come up with some of this stuff, all right? So here's the formula from God's side, okay? Here's the true creation formula. You take nothing, you add God, and you get everything. Now think about this, because the God we're adding here is an eternal, all-powerful, all-wise, infinite knowledge God, okay? You take nothing and you add that God with it, and you come up with everything. And it takes less faith to believe that one than it does into this evolutionary science fiction fairy tale thing, okay? Now, I want you to see a couple of the things I want to run past. I don't mean to bore you with some of this stuff, but just, again, to try to help you think some of this stuff through. Tales of evolution, okay? I'm going to give you a few tales of evolution here. For one, evolution is clueless on some of these answers. They can only think back so far, like I said, and they come up with a substance, and beyond that, they don't know what happened before then. The best answer they'll give you is, well, we know everything started from this substance that all of a sudden blew up and evolved with a big bang and all this kind of stuff, and that stuff must have come from another place that had a big bang and evolved, another big bang, and it just goes on to infinitum with their thinking here, because it doesn't go anywhere, okay? But here's one of the tales of evolution. All right, to think evolution is possibility. Okay, we've got, according to evolutionary teaching, we had these monkeys or these apes that one day, somehow through some mutation that occurred here, this mama ape ended up having this baby, and it was a man thing. It was more man than it was ape, okay? And we're going to call him Adam, just to try to put it into the story here, all right? So she had this male baby man. Somehow, at the same time, must have been in the same region, another mama had another baby that was a female. And that now was, we're going to call her Eve. And somehow, Adam and Eve met, and they came together and started reproducing, and now we have all of us, you know? I mean, that's one of the evolutionary tales you'd have to swallow if you're going to hold to evolution and try to even blend it in with the Bible here, okay? Here's another evolutionary tale, okay? Circulatory system. We're just going to take one system of our body and think this one through, okay? Our circulation, for our body to exist, okay, we have to have blood, right? We also have to have something to transport the blood. So we have to have capillaries, we have to have veins, we have to have arteries for all that to work. Which one came first in evolution? Think about this. The circulatory only works when it's all working, you know? Because you need not only the blood and not only the transportation system, we have to have a pump to make it work, too. So in evolutionary thinking, which came first? Because we evolved, right? I mean, it wasn't always this complex. So what happened? All of a sudden, natural selection said, we need some substance that's going to transport nutrition and oxygen to this body. So we'll come up with blood. That sounds good. How are we going to get it there? Oh, yeah, let's come up with some arteries, you know, and we'll pop them in, and we got to get the blood back. We need some veins and then between some capillaries and stuff. How are we going to move it? We're going to have a pump, so let's come up with this heart. Wait a minute. That's a complex system all by itself. How did that happen? Well, again, the best evolution comes up with says, well, we made some big steps in evolution, okay? We're talking some huge steps to get just to the circulatory system alone, and that's only one part of our body, you know? You study the eye and see what it takes for the eye to work. You study your hand and see what it takes for your fingers to move this way. You know, it's unbelievable what all is involved in just that movement. You can study the thumb by itself and see how many bones are there, how it's attached, what's connected to it, makes it rotate, you know, and all the things it does. It's just unbelievable machinery when you look at that had to be designed somehow, okay? So those are just some things to chew on a little bit. Now, I'm going to give you something easy, and this is, you can almost do this for homework, okay? If your kids went through school systems where they gave them the secular books and really heavy on evolution, take one of those books and read through it. Check it out, okay? If you watch the Discovery Channel and see some of these wonderful stories they have on there about evolution and stuff, check them out. Channel 9 does this for you once in a while, okay? If you get a chance, take one of these things, and I want you to examine it and look at what it tells you, okay? Because it's amazing. Here's what you get, all right? You'll find a lot of these words. It may have been. It probably was. It could have been. Okay? And they don't, if you listen to them, they say it as though this is fact, all right? But when you listen to what they say or you look at the words, notice how many times it's probably, could be, might be, maybe, you know? It's all over the place, all right? And I did this just not too long ago. There was, Channel 9 had a show on about how the birds evolved and learned to fly, you know? So I thought, oh, this ought to be interesting, you know? So I watched it and I just tried to count how many times it probably happened this way. They might have done this, they could have done that. And I'm thinking, my head was spinning by the time it was over trying to count how many times there was a maybe, a probably, and all this. They have no clue. It's all guess. Like I said, good science fiction. These are some interesting tales of evolution, okay? So sadly, people are believing this stuff like crazy, all right? There's all kinds of stuff going on. It just blows your mind when you sit there and look at all this. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's get some truth in here. I apologize for running you all over, but hopefully that'll help you with some. It says, now the earth was formless, and it was empty, and it was darkness over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, when the Bible says that the world and everything, the earth here was formless, it's saying that it didn't have the shape that we're used to seeing it in now. God wasn't finished forming the thing, okay? What happened first was God created the heavens and the earth. Now he's going to form them into what he wants them to be, okay? At this point, there's nothing in the heavens. The Lord hasn't made the stars, the planets, or anything like that, the sun, the moon. Those aren't there yet, okay? So it is formless. It's empty, as it says right here. God isn't finished with that, okay? Now, one more passage to look at in Isaiah 45, if you want to turn there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 45, and look down to verse 18. And notice again, Isaiah is late in the Old Testament, and here we still have creation staring at us here from the pages. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. There's creation. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but he formed it to be inhabited. So when the Lord made everything, the heavens and the earth, he didn't form the earth just to be an empty sphere. He created the earth that it might be inhabited, okay? And we're going to see how he does that in the rest of Genesis 1. Now, if you wonder, what's this doing in the middle of Isaiah here? At this point in time, Israel was empty. There wasn't anybody living in the land. And the Lord was trying to encourage them that God developed this whole place for them to be inhabited. So Israel will be inhabited again. That's his encouragement to them, and that's why he brought that up. But for us, that's why the Lord made this world, that it might be inhabited. There might be people on here. There might be his creation on here, okay? So the Lord tells us back in Genesis again that it was formless, it was empty, darkness is over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And what we'll have to, unfortunately, our time is shot past us here. I was hoping we'd get further on this, but we'll stop at this point. And like I said, I apologize for throwing so much evolution in there, but the enemy is the one who's behind that teaching. If you wonder, where'd that come from? You know, why is there such a hard push for everybody to swallow evolution? The enemy is there. He's trying to put God out of the picture. He wants God out of your mind. He doesn't want you focusing on him. He wants you to think that there's something out there that you can believe in besides God, okay? So I was really hoping we'd get further in this, but we'll stop at this point. And today, you know, if you've been wrestling with evolution, creation, how does that fit in, just read the truth God gave us. It's a lot simpler than all the stuff they've had to try to hook together and get you to take and eat and everything else without having to mess your mind over, okay? You can read the truth, and we praise God he gave us the answers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you gave us truth. We just praise you for that, Lord. Father, I pray that you help us to learn this truth and to build our lives on it. Father, I know that you don't want us just to know your word, but you want us to obey it, to believe it. And we thank you and praise you for the time you put in to get your word to us. I do ask, Lord, that you give us a hunger for your word, that it would be our daily bread as we come and we eat and get nourished spiritually and stronger in you. Father, I thank you for everyone you brought here today. I pray, Lord, if someone is here today and have never accepted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, I pray today would be the day, Lord. Help them to understand that Jesus died on the cross for them to pay for their sins. Father, we just pray today, too, if we've strayed away from your truth, that today you would call us back, and we want to know the true answers. And Father, we just give you the praise for all things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.